Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Shazam! And welcome to the IGN UK podcast. Joining me today, this week, and hopefully forever, Joe Screbbles.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. I've just remembered that lager tops are a thing.
When did this happen?
In the kitchen. Someone mentioned working in a bar and that they didn't remember. That when they worked there, they were too young to know what drinks orders were. And it threw me in a reverie back to when I was first asked for a lager top. And I didn't know what it was, and I had to go and ask, and I got made fun of. But I think if you're the kind of person who drinks a lager top, you're ill. Okay. So
Matt
that's
Perslow,
my thought.
Do you drink lager tops?
I don't know what one is.
Exactly, so, right?
There we go.
Because you don't know ill people. Lager tops are almost a full pint of lager, but with like a squirt of lemonade at the top.
So it's a shit shandy.
It's the worst possible type of shandy. It's an unrefreshing, weird shandy.
It does sound like you have to be deeply ill to drink one.
You have to be deeply ill. Also, have you ever come across the practice of making diesels?
I mean,
where
I
are we
put
going
diesel in a diesel motor. But...
it's half a pint of lager and half a pint of Coke. One of my friends.
Sorry, what?
One of my friends got obsessed with them when we were young and
Dale's
tried to make
giving
me
it the thumbs
them.
Up.
You like a diesel? You little freak. And Gav, last time we went to Japan, kept having half pints of lager and half pints of tomato juice, which is a
what?
Thing. What? Just drink a bloody pint. I don't want to sound like Brexit. Drink a pint and shut up.
Although I don't know if I still would enjoy, but I did enjoy a snake bite. Back in my youth.
But that was more... Snakebite was like a fabled get-you-fucked-up like childhood drink, wasn't it?
Yeah, and at least that's... I mean, cider and beer, they're not too far apart.
No, they're on the same continuum.
Dash of blackcurrant in there.
Yeah.
You're having a good time.
Snakebite and black.
You're having very purple sick later is what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, as I said earlier, Shazam, that's a film.
It is. A new one.
Just a new one, yeah.
Yeah.
You've both seen it. I haven't. Tell me about it.
Matt, do you want to kick this off?
Yeah, so Shazam is a little boy. It's a bit weird, isn't it? He's like a 15-year-old kid, Billy Batson, and he's in foster care, you know, he's not been struggling well, and he meets a wizard who gets him to touch his staff.
It's in retrospect, troubling.
And when you touch the wizard's staff, you turn into Shazam.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. And Shazam is a superhero. Yeah. And he, well, originally known as Captain Marvel, but you can't call him Captain Marvel anymore because of a certain Brie Larson and a certain Marvel Comics. But yeah, so he becomes, basically foster child becomes superhero, tries to be superhero, clearly doesn't really know how to be a superhero, so just goes around... effectively being a busker.
Yeah.
For some reason, the image that pops in my mind when anyone says wizard is the wizard from Where's Wally. That's the first one that goes into my mind.
It's a fairly archetypical look. Yeah.
Is that the sort of look we're talking about with this wizard?
I mean, to an extent, there's a...
Slightly Gandalfy, right?
Yeah,
this is the most important aspect of the film for me.
He's played by, Jimin Honsu, the guy who is in Guardians of the Galaxy and actually in Captain Marvel, which is mad. He's in two Captain Marvel films. And he plays him slightly more sort of odd, that he's not like Merlin. He's not a nice wizard so much as just someone who's deeply obsessed with finding a pure soul.
Amazing.
Because he had a less pure soul before who also touched the staff and also...
And probably drunk lager tops.
Mark Strong's villain definitely drinks. Mark Strong, I reckon, doesn't drink lager tops, but all his villains do.
Yeah.
I actually went... We'll get on to actually talking about whether we like the film in a second, but I went to a screening that was sort of... It was billed as like the regular media, multimedia screening, but I'm pretty sure... 3/4 of the room was competition winners.
Okay.
Which lent it a very different energy to, like, if you've never been to a media screening, they tend to be very quiet, not a lot of reaction, unless it's a properly funny movie, in which case people try and outdo each other on laughing. And it's quite a sort of sedate atmosphere, as you'd expect from professionals. This was people fucking going mental constantly, like, about everything. And it was, like, because I liked the film a lot, it really aided the experience. It was like, when there were big moments and big reveals, people were clapping, people were cheering, like, going, yeah! It was wicked.
That would do my head in.
But speaking of heads, Mark Strong came out, well, all of them came out beforehand and said, yeah, well, I'll get onto that, and and like introduced the film and said some fun stuff, and Zachary Levi was like effortlessly charming and beautiful, and then he left. And then Mark Strong didn't go off with the rest of them. He ran up, and it turns out his kids were in the audience, so he was sitting to watch it with them for the first time, which was lovely. Unfortunately, the angle at which Mark Strong sat meant that the shine off of his bald head kept going into my eyes all the way through. And so it's like I had my own personal Mark Strong villain. He was just sitting there blinding me.
Took the shine off the film.
Yeah, well, yes, somewhat. Yeah. But yeah, I think you've raised the element of Shazam I like the best, which is that for a very long time, it's not a superhero or origin story.
Oh, no.
It's just a kid being, like, having fun with sudden superpowers.
So it reminds me a bit of, it's like the PG version of Kick-Ass in the idea of that it is a guy, like, the family that he's kind of bought into, he's got, like, this foster brother called Freddy, who is obsessed with kind of the DC canon of superheroes. Like, he adores Batman. He's always wearing superhero shirts and stuff like that. And so he gets a real kick out of the fact that suddenly, like, his friend has been turned into the superhero. And so they think they can be superheroes, but they've no idea of what, because they've not got an Uncle Ben to sort of tell them what the responsibility of being a hero is. So they just think it's going around, like, showing off. And, you know, like, he's got super speed. You know, he can shoot electricity out of his hands, so he can go and charge people's phones up. And stuff like, that's what they think being a hero is. And it's that whole thing of, like, when Mark Strong's kind of villain turns up and they start to realize, oh, we've got to do something about this. He's got the power to, but doesn't really know how to do it.
Because how is Mark Strong's villain? Because I kind of like the trailers, but he was the bit to me that looked a bit naff.
He's pretty standard.
Okay.
But there's an intriguing sort of, he's in some ways an inversion of Billy Batson, but grown up wrong. So, like, he's someone who the wizard this is established in the first scene, so we're not spoiling anything. This is a kid who was previously chosen by the wizard and deemed to be not fit for the role.
Okay.
And so he was cast out, and it sort of twists him into a terrible man who will stop at nothing to get back to being able to claim that power because he feels he deserves it. So there's an interesting backstory to him, but the actual way it plays out is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's probably the weakest element of the film, but, like, it is a necessary one. Like, there would be no point in this film if there wasn't a moment at which Shazam got a chance to beat someone up. He serves a role. But yeah, it's like, it's just really nice and fun and, like, genuinely joyous.
That's
like,
strange from a DC film.
But that's it. I mean, this is what I gather people said about Aquaman as well. Like, that it was just a film aimed to be fun and not much else. And, like, if that's what they're going for now, I'm all for it. Like, if James Gunn's Suicide Squad reboot or whatever it is turns out to be a similar thing where it stops trying to be cool and just makes them, like, interesting, I'm down for that as well. Yeah, it's like, it feels like the right direction. And they play the universe aspect just right for me as well. Like, it never goes as far as having them, like, self-consciously reference the other films. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly a world in which other superheroes do exist. So it's not, people aren't losing their minds because he is a superhero. It's just him and his mates losing his mind that he was the one who became a superhero, which I think is really nice. Like, it's a playful way at, like, dealing with the idea of a universe without engaging with it. I guess it's similar to how Netflix did things with the first Daredevil and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's there in the ether. You're aware of the context.
It's much closer to that. And the thing is like, Batman versus Superman, you know, was clearly put together because, like, these characters are part of the Justice League.
Mm.
And we'll find a way to crowbar Wonder Woman in there because she's Justice League as well. Everybody needs to bloody know that they're going to be in the Justice League. Whereas even though Shazam is, certainly in the New 52, is part of the Justice League, like, there's no real reference to the fact that that's where he's headed.
No.
Or anything like that. It is just like he is a guy on his own. Like Batman clearly exists in that universe because there are loads of toys of him.
Yeah.
And they swing a toy that shouts, I am Batman.
I can imagine Zachary Levi's Shazam having a conversation with Henry Cavill's Superman.
But honestly, I'd prefer it. Like, it would be so much more fun than watching Ezra Miller's Flash.
Yeah.
Like, fucking that wisecracking prick in Justice League.
I reckon most things, even lager tops, are better than that, probably.
Yeah, I think so. At least I could, like, put up with one.
Yeah.
But, like, if you stripped out Ezra Miller's Flash and dropped in Billy Batson into that Justice League film, it would be a more fun film.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a good character, and both sides of him. The kid is really good as well. Like, it's easy to forget because Zachary Levi's getting all the fun jokes.
Mm.
But he is good at that role as well, of playing, like, he's slightly troubled, but not in a way that makes you hate him.
It's not like Batman, why are my parents dead? Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like he is getting on with the fact that he's had a tough childhood.
Yeah. It's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to blow anyone's minds, but it's like, it's proper
entertainment. It sort of blew my mind in terms of sort of like, wow, it's a DC film I actually like.
Yeah, the context, it's amazing.
Because even though I liked Wonder Woman, like, Wonder Woman absolutely shits itself in its final act, right?
Oh my God.
This doesn't. And the fact that it doesn't resort to a massive CG fest kind of final showdown with Mark Strong is really nice. It's got CG because it needs to, because there's like lightning going off and people being beat through the sky. But it reminds me so much more of a Marvel film in the way that final act is structured.
Yeah.
It's just a good showdown in a real environment.
Yeah. I don't think it can be overstated enough times that someone somewhere thought that David Thewlis should play Ares, the God of War.
Like, with his little mustache under his big helmet.
Like, spoilers if you haven't watched Wonder Woman, but David Thewlis is Ares.
Professor Lupin.
It's one of the stupidest reveals I've ever seen. What a lot of fun.
Amazing.
You should watch Shazam.
I do want to see Shazam.
I actually can't decide if I liked it or Captain Marvel more. I think Captain Marvel feels more straightforward but satisfying, like it's chewy, whereas Shazam feels genuinely different in some ways. But maybe it's a bit weaker in terms of like storytelling. But yeah, they're both very good films. I'm glad we're getting good superhero films all the time now.
It is good, isn't it? I'm looking forward to seeing Shazam, but for now I'll just have to settle for looking at my pack of DC top trumps that I have in front of me.
I got a weird message from Cardi about a week ago that just said, I've got a box full of top trumps that I want to get rid of. Should I bring them in? And so currently one of the desks in our office has, what, 30-something different top trumps packs?
Yeah, around the ages of about 11 to 12, I probably collected a few. They were fun games.
If you follow Cardi on Twitter, you'll have seen that he has some very troubling instances.
Yeah, I found... we won't get into that now. But
suffice it to say, there's a tarnished rock band who have quite a good top trumps card with some
questionable categories.
Some information that has not aged well.
No, but
they've gained in beard power over the years.
They have. Yeah, well, is that a good thing? That'll happen in prison. But we're going to play just a few hands of DC top trumps because I've brought them in and we might as well.
Yeah.
And it links to Shazam, so... Before you, Joe, you have Shazam's card this pack.
Shazam TM.
Just a little, if you don't know what top trumps are, because I don't know if they're a very British thing or not.
They seem British.
Yeah.
They're called trumps.
Yeah. Basically, it's just a cup. You'll have, how many are in a pack? Is it the same as a pack
of cards? Yeah, so usually a 50-something card deck.
And each card will have a character on. In this case, they're all DC comic characters. And they'll have five categories. What are the five categories on these?
On this, it's six on this one.
Six?
Because one of them is height in centimetres.
Wow.
There's height in centimetres. Intelligence, which is out of 10.
I don't know what they're out of, to be honest.
It must be out of 10, because otherwise Shazam's very unintelligent.
Well, tell us how intelligent Shazam
is. He's a 7. But he's got a 48 for strength.
That must be out of 50. It makes little sense when you think
about
it.
Speed and agility are two different things.
Well, they are, aren't they?
I mean, but would you
do that? They were running out of things, weren't they?
And fighting skills.
Fighting skills.
His real name is Billy Batson. I'm just going to read his card.
Yep.
Drawn to a secret cavern beneath the Fawcett City subway. Fawcett? Orphaned newsboy Billy Batson met the immortal wizard Shazam, who granted Billy miraculous superpowers to do battle with the 7 deadly enemies of man. Speaking Shazam's name aloud empowers the teenager with the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles and the speed of Mercury. And the world's mightiest mortal takes to the skies to fight evil. The citizens of Fawcett City know their champion as Captain Marvel. But not anymore.
So if we just put him to one side, we've got 5 random cards each.
Yeah.
We'll just take turns at picking first.
Yeah. And isn't it the person who wins gets to pick the next time?
Yeah, but I feel like with only 5 hands, it must be the same person
who
every time.
Who the fuck is that?
Are we doing you get to pick any out of your 5, or you just do them in order as you've got them?
Well, you're meant to. I mean, the real rules are that you pick.
Yeah, but we're not playing the real rules. We're playing a condensed
version. All right, we'll play at the top. Yeah, fine.
Just play out.
Just get it over with.
So who wants to start? Who wants to start?
I want to because I've got Professor Zoom. Real name, Hunter Zolomon.
I don't know him.
He's from The Flash.
He is.
I would never have guessed.
I really hope intelligence is out of 10. I'm going to go for fighting skills.
You're not going to go for speed with Professor Zoom?
I'm not. I can't tell what it's out of.
I'm guessing he's quick.
But he's much less quick than he is agile. I don't understand what these are out of. Well, I'm going to go for fighting skills.
That's the fun of it, isn't it? Go on, then.
He's a former FBI agent. He's got fighting skills of 79.
Oh, that sounds quite high.
Yeah.
What have you got?
I'm packing Captain Cold.
Captain Birdseye's phone.
That's his mate. He keeps his fingers cold.
His artwork, right, so I largely know Captain Cold from like the CW shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not looking a swish on this card. He's in like a shit parka.
He looks like a rejected Oasis member. With a gun.
What are we doing with fighting skills?
Yeah.
Nah, no way, Captain Cole. He's 63.
Oh, come on, Captain.
Well, I have Green Lantern.
Oh.
In brackets, John.
Oh.
And his real name is John Stewart.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, Joe, what were your fighting skills?
79.
Green Lantern John, fighting skills, 80.
Oh,
One up.
Just beat Professor Zoom. Hunter Zolomon thwarted again. Oh,
so that's one hand to me. That's just going to emphasise, this is not endless search. Don't feel let down too much by this section.
This is just a section in which we play Tom Jones.
Go on, Matt.
Right,
Start us off. Oh, hello.
So, Mary Marvel. Ooh. So this is part of the Shazam family.
Excellent. The Shazamly.
Tell us more, because you have much more knowledge about these characters than
right,
me.
Right, so outside of kind of what we all know of Shazam, which is Zachary Levi's character, kind of in the comics, there is a family of other people that also get to touch the staff. And they all become basically little Shazams as well.
Wow,
that's pretty cool.
So yeah, so Mary Marvel, who's one of, which is Mary Batson, she becomes a buff superhero, and we are gonna use. See, it's not knowing what these are out of.
No,
that's the mystery of it all.
I'm also gonna do fighting skills.
Okay.
Ooh. What's the number?
82.
Ah, fuck.
Oh, well, I have a little man called Batman.
Oh, piss off.
I don't need to tell anyone about Batman. His real name's Bruce Wayne. Didn't know if you knew that.
What?
I don't know.
The billionaire.
I know. I've revealed it finally.
Gotham City Playboy. But how could he be Batman? He's so carefree, but Batman's so careful.
It's mad when you think about it, isn't it?
I can't believe those are the two attributes I think of.
Yeah.
Batman's careful.
Not according to Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, Batman has fighting skills of 92. Oh.
Jesus. Well,
he can fight. He's a good fighter.
I've got the weakest of the lot, and it's Green Lantern brackets Kyle. Kyle Rayner, the fourth Earthman to wield an Owen power ring.
What was his number?
80.
Oh, that's not even a bad card.
It's not.
What happened there? You've
he
been trumped.
Absolutely.
And that's...
Also, can I just point out, Shazam's got fighting skills of 71, and Shazam's... sister beating him up 11 yeah. points. I like that.
So
fair
here,
play.
I have Aquaman.
Ooh. Ooh.
Real name Arthur Curry / Orin Marius.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What do you go for him? What do you do? What do you do?
I imagine he's a pretty swift boy.
I imagine he is, but Is he only swift in water?
This is a question that applies to Trump.
Can I apply like a water element card and just Trump everyone? I'm going to go speed though.
Okay.
Oh, and I'm going to go 8.
Ooh.
I mean, I have got Ocean Master, who is Aquaman's half brother.
This is interesting. Marius. We've got the Aqua family here.
Have we?
I got Aqua Girl.
Fair play. Ooh. Well, unfortunately, Ocean Master is good at many things, including evil. But his speed is 4.
So he's not a quick boy.
He's breaststroke at best.
He is ponderous.
Yeah, Aqua Girl is 6. I've just got a little bit of doggy paddle going there.
That's 3 for me already.
He's absolutely smashed it.
I mean, it's luck. At the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, it's absolute luck, especially as we're not playing correctly.
Yeah, no. Go on, Joe. Two more to go.
Green Arrow. Oliver Queen. He was stranded on an island. fuck it. I'm going to go for height. He's 180 centimetres short.
As everyone's favourite girl, Harley Quinn, she's obviously a little bit of a shorty at 171.
Well, I've got Black Manta.
Oh, yeah?
Real name unknown.
He's got that big head.
And he's 193 centimetres tall.
Oh, my good lord. He's running away with it.
They've never seen
Manta.
Trumps like it. Well, you might have. I don't know what you've been doing. But let's finish this. Come on, Matt.
Right, so I've got Starfire.
Wow.
Everybody.
You want to get that treated?
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'm going to go with strength.
Okay.
I fucked this already.
28.
Oh.
See, not the best one for me there. I've got Scarecrow, real name Jonathan Crane. Taunted and bullied as a youth. Grew up to be a man afraid of his own shadow. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Don't talk about Dale that way.
He only has strength for 15.
Okay.
He uses the power of fear.
He does.
Well, I've got something interesting there, because I've got Firestorm. Ooh. Real name Ronnie Raymond / Martin Stein.
Yeah.
When a terrorist fused together. Yeah. When a terrorist bomb blew up Martin Stein's lab, his experimental reactor exploded, and he found himself atomically bonded to teenager Ronnie Raymond, which wouldn't be allowed these days. I've got strength 28 as well.
Oh.
So have you got to pick another
category? Go down to the next favourite category.
Next favourite, not just the next one below.
No, you can choose.
I'm going to go for... But I know who you are now.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
And I know that you've got
knowledge.
The mind of Stein. Shit.
Do you know what's mad about that? You'd probably be fine going for intelligence. They haven't considered that.
Bizarrely, I'm going to go for height.
Hello?
193.
Oh, height 188.
Oh,
hey. Battered.
One for that.
Well, wasn't that a fun section?
That was fun. And I've got another 25 packs, so who knows? Maybe one day we'll crack into, like, Predators of the Animal World or...
Predators of the Rock World.
I've got England cricket stars. I'm sure everyone will enjoy that one.
I really like the idea of playing some of the outdated sports ones.
Oh, I've got, like, world football stars from, like, 2003 or something.
Up for it. I want Juan Sebastian Varane.
He is on the cover. But, yeah.
I enjoyed that. Let us know if you enjoyed that. Yeah. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
I still can't believe Shazam is 71 for fighting skills.
I do actually. I can't believe that Martin Stein, an atomic scientist, has intelligence 4. I wish they'd tell us what they were out of as well.
Anyway, do you know who has good fighting skills?
Who?
Wolf in Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Not in Gladiator.
No, does he have good fighting skills?
I think that's very dependent on who he's playing.
We've all played a little bit of Sekiro this week.
Yeah.
I personally am enjoying it a lot.
Yes.
This is definitely the first FromSoft game that has instantly grabbed me.
Mm. I have felt similarly, although I have had the same reaction I've had with most From games, which is I beat a boss, or in this case a mini boss, and it was a really tough fight. And I turn it off triumphant, and then I feel scared to ever go back because I know that it'll be worse again. Like, that's, you've hit that like peak, and all it can do is get worse from there.
Mm.
But it is, I think it's some of the best feeling sword fighting in
absolutely,
a game.
Yeah.
Like, I think, pardon me, I think there's a case to be made that For Honor has a more realistic approach to it. Like, I really like the idea of For Honor's stances and
blade positioning,
rock, paper, scissors element to it. But what I like about Sekiro is that it makes everyone feel like that you're fighting a trained swordsman almost all the time. And there's something really exciting about the idea that almost everyone's as good at this as you are, and it's really a case of who gets the upper hand.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't played Sekiro, the cool thing it does... Actually, I'll get onto this afterwards, but I saw a really interesting sort of philosophical take on the on the deflections thing. But it has... You're not just doing damage to someone's body the whole time and whittling down a health bar. You're building a deflecting, like a deflection meter.
It's a posture meter.
Yeah. Mm. So every time you hit them, they deflect your blade. But the more they're deflecting your blade, essentially the weaker and like less like defensive a stance they can take until you break their guard and you're able to apply the one finishing blow.
Death blow.
Apart from very strong characters, you take a few death blows. And it's just... like thrilling, because it forces, in the same way everyone told me Bloodborne was the more aggressive FromSoft game, but I still felt under threat the whole time. Even when I was like going at someone, it felt like it wouldn't take much for that to be a mistake and that I should back off. Whereas in Sekiro, it's so insistent that you are constantly on the front foot, and one of the things I love about that is it's turning me into like a stupid ninja man in a movie. Like, I'm walking up to individual guards with my blade down by my side and walking as slowly as possible towards them to, like, just for my own sake, to, like, set up an exciting sword fight. Mm. I just find it really fun.
I just really enjoy it. It feels much more fluid to me than Dark Souls
ever did. It's certainly more of an action game than an RPG.
And I didn't realize until I played it how much I miss when there's no jump button in a game, because I do find myself in every game just jumping around, like running. I don't just run, I like jump constantly. Like if you ever see me play Overwatch, I'm constantly just jumping. I'm never just running, I'm jumping up and down. And I don't know, it just feels weird even in although God of War is an exceptional game, not having a jump button was like, to me, just like,
I mean, would somewhat take away from the effect of Kratos' stature.
I just enjoy a good jump button.
Yeah. Obviously, you can jump on their faces as well. That is good.
Even jumping's an attack in this. Yeah. I really like it. Like, in a way, it's the closest FromSoft has ever got to making a Mario game. You can treat people as Goombas. The fun philosophical thing I read before I forget is that in most games in Dark Souls, it's about like essentially betting your health bar against theirs and whittling theirs down and watching as it like dissipates. And by making this a bar that fills up, it subconsciously primes you to like get in. Like it's almost a visual feedback for how the game teaches you to play, because it's like, fill this up as quickly as possible. It's not get rid of this as slow, you know, in a creeping way. I think that's really smart. I love it.
Yeah, I'm still only about 2 hours in and I'm still enjoying it, but I am dreading that inevitable point where I'm just smacking my head against the wall.
What's it?
Butterfly, I think, is the one that people seem
everyone
to be
talks about. Lady Butterfly.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I went on the sort of subreddit yesterday just to kind of gauge feedback or opinion, and I suddenly realised I didn't want to look because I was seeing like in jokes to stuff that I haven't got to yet. Like, there's something to do with the name Roberto being shouted. And I really want to know what that means. But I also don't want to look because I want it to be a surprise. And, like, that is the pleasure of these games as well. That, like, did either of you in the tutorial area, you know, when you beat the sort of tutorial mini boss who's guarding that gate, did you go through that gate straight away? Because I didn't. Like, there was another way round. You could, like, creep along the cliffs.
I think I did that.
So did you end up under the bridge?
Yeah,
with the little goblin dude.
What the fuck was that? Right, so like you're primed like, this is a game about feudal Japan and you're going to be doing sword fighting. Then there's this fucking like troll man under a bridge and he just attacks you out of nowhere. He's got a little hat on. Yeah. I loved it. I was just suddenly like, okay, right, I could see anything in this now. Like it could
like
be
Japanese
anything.
Japanese golem.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's just an exciting thing. And I do... As someone who's never fully gotten on with FromSoft stuff, I do like the feeling that this is just different enough to make it feel like I'm not at a disadvantage for not being good at those ones. I can come to
it. So I actually find it more difficult than... So I really got into FromSoft games like last year, started with Bloodborne and then went into Dark Souls. And obviously it's a very different experience now because like all of those games were spoilt for me anyway. I was living in a house with two people that adored those games and were sort of like, oh, I can't wait for you to get to Boss X, Box Y. And so this is, obviously, I have no idea about it, but it feels a lot more delicate in the way that you do the combat.
Mm.
And I feel like there's a lot more precision. I feel like you can fuck up a bit on a Souls boss, but as long as you can guard and you can absorb that kind of damage and you can eventually kind of sidestep your way around a character, and it's like everyone's fucking at you in Sekiro. And the kind of like the metaphor I've got is like your deflect is almost like tapping Morse code into a controller, because like you get an enemy comes at you and you're like, okay, so this guy does like a 4-hit combo, and it's 1-1, wait, long one again,
right?
And kind of like you start doing that and you're like, oh, it's a completely different muscle memory to the way that any of the other ones work. And like that's taken a bit of getting over, because that, like, he's the first kind of main tough enemy you come into, but the general that like the guards the gate, like, in the first proper area after tutorial, like one absolute son of a gun, like took me fucking like an hour to do him.
I haven't heard someone be described as a son of a gun for a long time. That's great.
Son of a shogun.
Nice. Ooh. I mean, probably technically incorrect, but you know, I'll go with it.
It was a good joke.
No, it was. But I think, I'm surprised by how much all of us are really enjoying Sekiro. Yeah. And I'm sure I'll drop off. Like, it always happens.
I think maybe I'll benefit from not having that FromSoft background.
Yeah, same.
I've heard a lot of people say the adjustment is hard, but not having to need that adjustment is making me just enjoy it.
I do find it really interesting, the people who are saying it's really hard versus people who say it's easier. Like our review, Brandon says it's an easier game.
Yeah.
Whereas I've seen a lot of reviews where it's like, this is the cripplingly hard one.
You don't get summons either. And that's the thing, is like, even though I've developed a love for FromSoft's games, it's not really because of the challenge, it's more because of like the layout of those worlds. And like Bloodborne is a fucking incredible world and the way it all intertwines and snakes. But I summoned for probably about 80 or 90% of the bosses in Bloodborne, just because there's no fucking way I'm skilled enough to do those. Yeah. I need a buddy to come in and help me. You just don't get that. You obviously get unseen aid in this, which is, but it's a very, very different sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's about stopping you from losing money, XP basically, and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And like when that's your only aid in the game, it's like, oh shit, I can't rely on someone who's been playing this for 7,000 hours.
Yeah.
I do think the first hour of Sekiro is much kinder and actually does a much better job of teaching you.
Oh, yeah. The fact than that, I think that's Activision's influence as well.
Yeah.
The fact that there's literally a guy who just sits at the temple and goes, oh, by the way, I can teach you everything you need to know as it appears. Yeah. You're like, fair play.
I appreciate that. That has often been my problem with Dark Souls, is that it's just slightly too obtuse for my
And building a character in Dark Souls or Bloodborne is like, you need, if you don't have a history in those like really obtuse RPGs, you need to use a wiki, because it's like, I don't fucking know what Blood Tinge is or what Stance is supposed to be and stuff like that. Whereas with Sekiro, it's a skill tree led system.
Yeah.
Like, you just look at what you think will be useful for the encounters you're doing at the moment and build towards that.
I've seen people worrying that it's not going to be as replayable as those other games, and I kind of see that in as much as I do see the negative of getting rid of that very in-depth character creation, because you won't get people who are like, you know, like the RKG boys the other day for their thing just played with a magic character, like, and it completely changed the game. Like, watching them was like, oh right, this is a different Dark Souls now. And there's not going to be much of that in this, so I do see why people are a little upset that they don't get that tinkering aspect, that ability to mess with it and break it
and build things around specific weapons, right?
Yeah.
Because kind of like my character in Bloodborne was very much focused around using the threaded cane, which obviously is this, it's a gentleman's walking stick that turns into a fucking whip covered in you know, thorns and stuff like that. And like, but swapping out of that to something like the, I think it's the Whirligig blade or something like that, which is like a giant spinning rototop on a stick, like, you're not going to get that because you use the same sword for the entire game, right? But I think, I guess Sekiro is more about mastering the perfection of one art rather than figuring out what discipline you want to go with.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'm specifically into the resurrect mechanic. It's very helpful.
Oh,
just
man.
Just being able to come back.
I read a few reviews and I thought I'd understood the system. So essentially, if you die enough, major characters get this thing called Dragon Rot, which seems to be bad for them.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
It's not cured on the NHS, is it?
I read that in the reviews as that happens if you resurrect too much. So for the first like hour or so, I was just dying on purpose, like never using the resurrect. Because I was like, oh, if I use resurrect too much, people will start dying around me.
Die.
Yeah, and so I was speeding up the process of all my friends dying in it, incurable diseases. It was horrible.
Things coming back from the dead. Do you know something else where things come back from the dead?
Here he is.
Pet Sematary. I saw that last week. I've seen a couple of films on last week. I'm going to quick little mini thoughts. I'm not going to call them reviews.
Film 2019.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a quick little breakdown of Pet Sematary and mid-90s.
Okay.
Pet Sematary is a perfectly fine film. It's okay. I never have to see it again. I enjoyed watching it. It's a nice short hour and a half horror film based on Stephen King's novel, which I haven't actually ever read.
Nope.
But yeah, the premise of Pet Sematary, if you don't know, it's the classic family moves from big city to small countryside town.
Bad idea.
They find out. So it's Jason Clark. I think I got his name right. It's Jason Clark, isn't it? He's the father of the house. Father of the house? Okay.
Man of the manor.
I love you, my big rectangular son.
But and he's bought this property, which unbeknownst to him has something like 300 acres or something.
Right.
And he's bought this property not knowing really what's on this land, which seems mad to me. Mm-hmm. And then John Lithgow plays his mad neighbour. Who
love John Lithgow.
Has one of the maddest in-jokes in a film I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, the family that move in, their cat is called Church.
Yeah.
And the little girl is talking to John Lithgow, the friendly neighbour. And she's like, oh, we named him after Churchill. He was an old man who lived a while ago. And John Lithgow goes, oh, I know all about him. Don't worry. I'm like, what is this universe?
Yeah.
Is John Lithgow John Lithgow in this? Is he played him?
I like the idea that John Lithgow's character acknowledges that he looks like the real John Lithgow, who has in this universe played Churchill.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I know all about Churchill because that fucker looks just like me.
I get it all the time.
Like that weird thing, is it Ocean's 12 or Ocean's 13 where Julia Roberts' character, everyone keeps going like, she does look like her. And you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? And then at the end, the twist is, she pretends to be Julia Roberts. It's so mad.
But yeah, that's a mad point in the film. But it's a decent horror film. It doesn't lean too much in one way. It has funny bits. It has a couple of jump bits. It has a couple of gory bits. It's got a bit for everyone.
Yeah.
It's nice and succinct even. And I thought the ending was cool. So if you're fancying a nice little horror film.
Is it actually scary?
I wasn't scared. If you find, it's one of those, if you find Stephen King's, I don't necessarily find Stephen King scary. I really like his stuff. Like, I found it when I was a kid scary. I think kids would find this potentially scary. It's not his scariest one, I would say.
Yeah.
It's more, it's a cool story, is what I'd say. Yeah, it's a decent film. Do you know what I loved a lot more, though, is mid-90s.
Or Dean.
I loved this film. If you don't know what mid-90s is, that's an hour and 20 as well. I'm enjoying these short films.
That's good, isn't it?
It's Jonah Hill of Superbad and, I'm going to go, Moneyball fame.
Fair play.
It's his first film he's written and directed, and it's very good. I believe it's like semi-autobiographical about growing up in LA, and it's about this kid who doesn't have a great home life and tries to escape through skateboarding. And the lead actor in it, the kid, is Sonny Sulich, who played Atreus in God of War.
Oh, really?
So you can really see it in his face as well.
Huh.
And he's really good in it. All the kids in it are really good actors, I believe. So he befriends a group of skateboarders on the street, and they're just skateboarders who became actors because they were trying to find people who could skate first.
Right.
I may have got that completely wrong, but they're all really good. And it's got Lucas Hedges as well, who's always good, playing his brother. Just a really good film. It gets a bit darker than I thought it did. But the main thing I love about this film is the soundtrack is just exceptional.
Mm.
It captures that period so well of, you've got like Wu-Tang, A Tribe Called Quest, but then you've got like more punk stuff like Bad Brains. You've got Nirvana mixed in. You've got all the good stuff.
Yeah.
If you like that sort of stuff, I do.
Yeah.
Don't know about you.
Into it.
And it's also got like only like four or five tracks by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, which
Is
also amazing because they're along with Johnny Greenwood, good, probably my favourite film composers.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're also like channeling like late 90s, early 2000 emo with that score with like American football style stuff. So if you're into that, it's just a good soundtrack to listen to.
You kind of said it was more like a mood piece than a
There's not a
story.
There's a through line and a plot, but yeah, it's more about just, I suppose it's a short period, even maybe a few weeks in this 13-year-old's life,
yeah,
where he's kind of going through that time when you want to be a bit rebellious and want to try new things, like skateboarding over gaps and grinding on rails.
Did you go through that phase?
I loved the Tony Hawk games and same. I loved that music. I never really took up skateboarding.
I tried it, but I couldn't. I fell off. I just almost immediately fell off. Not doing those McTwists. Like, I genuinely don't really understand how people stay on just when it's going normally on the flat ground. Like
Velcro, mate.
Yeah, that's it. I want, like, I need to be sticking to it, and then I'd fall off in a different way.
One of my favourite things to do whenever I'm on the South Bank is go to that area just next to the BFI.
The skateboarding area.
Yeah, there's loads that skateboarding area. There's always like 20, 30 skateboarders there.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of them land a trick.
And it's the funniest thing.
Yeah. I've never seen anyone land anything impressive.
That's because all the good ones have like done their tricks and gone home. But when you're still there at like 10, something's up.
Yeah.
You're bad at it.
But yeah, I would heartily recommend Mid-90s. I believe that's out on the 12th of April in the UK. Mm. I think it might have been out in America for a while. It's done all like the festival stuff.
Oh,
and I think Pet Sematary is out next week, I want to say.
Not a new film, but I watched Hereditary for the first time this week.
Oh, incredible. What did you think?
Fucking brilliant.
I still think that was maybe my favourite film last year.
If you're one of those people who didn't like the ending that I heard so much about...
Oh, it's mad. Well, you,
bonkers.
You can't be my friend. It's so good. That ending's brilliant. Oh, like, that makes it.
It's full on just madness, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's fun. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's horrible, but it's fun horrible.
Oh, it's... Yeah, it's harrowing. And has one of the most disgusting scenes I've ever seen near the end. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. Yeah, that was doing it. That to me was...
That didn't get me as much really? As some of the other stuff. I mean, it's grim, obviously. It's not grim.
But
there's that and the lamppost.
Yeah, the lamppost's pretty full on.
But I thought it was brilliant.
I love that film. And it's on Amazon Prime, which is why I watched it. So if you haven't seen it, it is worthwhile.
One for all the family.
I nearly watched it on the plane, and then I was like, nah.
It's not a plane film. Yeah,
well, also, it's just not going to... They're gonna cut stuff out.
Yeah. I've watched it twice, actually, and I have watched it on a plane, and they did cut some of that stuff out.
Did they?
Yeah.
Which bits?
That bit. The two bits we talked about, they kind of cut a bit.
What?
You don't quite see it.
That's quite key.
I know.
I once watched Kick-Ass on a plane, and I didn't realise that they'd, you know, edit all the swearing, but they just dubbed it over, and it was Mother Fudger.
Oh, yeah.
I was
like,
well, this is... new way to swear.
What's the famous Big Lebowski one? I'm sure I've mentioned it on here before. You know, the fuck a stranger in the ass section.
Yeah.
It's something like friend a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah.
it's really odd. It's worth looking up. It's on YouTube.
Do you know what else is really odd?
Don't know, mate.
The Endless Search.
Wow.
Is it really odd? I don't know. That was...
It's odd that
I
we continue
grabbing for a segue there. If you don't want the Endless Search, it's our Endless Search to replace Keyword Countdown, which was created by some guy with a beard.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go on Naaman because A, I enjoy it, and B, I personally think it's very good. So you're both going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And here's the jingle because people really wanted the jingle for some reason.
Yeah, we got told off.
Go on, name them. Time for Go on, name them. Go on, name them. Time for Go on, name them. It's Go on, name them.
Matt, are you familiar with Go on, name them?
So I've definitely heard this before. You're going to have to recap it.
Okay, I'm going to have five different categories here, all with a set number of answers, and you and Joe are going to have to bid off against each other to see who thinks they can name more in that category.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And yeah, so say you bid five, Joe says, I don't think I can do six. He says, go on, name him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't name him, Joe gets the point. If you name him, you get the point.
I play a very defensive game.
We've got five categories. And here we go. The first one. There are 19 guns in Apex Legends.
Ooh.
How many of them can you name?
Oh,
we'll start with
that's
Joe.
That's actually quite good.
I'm not going to give you too long for the bidding. I don't want you thinking of them while...
I'm going to say 9.
Okay, I'll try for 10.
12.
Ooh. Ooh.
No, go on.
Damn it, Naaman! Why did I do this? All right.
I haven't brought a pen with me, which could be an issue.
Well, should we take a break?
I'm going to go for a pen break. Here is 5 seconds of UK Garage. Easy, the hard part. Don't grind like a dog part. Don't pull out your get fast. Don't run when the hate cost. You talk fast, so no, take it easy. I hope you enjoyed that section of UK Garage that has currently been undefined as what's going to be there.
What should we do?
I don't know. Well, we promised. Well, Joe has promised to us in this break that he has not thought too hard about.
No,
the
I haven't.
Guns
and mostly my thinking was, Christ, I have no idea if I know 12.
Well, why don't you kick us off?
All right,
what
let's
can
go.
You do?
Eva 9.
I've picked my only pen that doesn't work.
Jeez, you've had 300 years.
You have to go get another one.
Oh my God, it's 5 more seconds or whatever we choose.
I found a pen that works.
Good.
Let's finally do this quiz that everyone's going to be underwhelmed by.
Eva 9.
Oh.
Eva 8?
Yeah, it's That's an Eva 8. Is Matt allowing it? Is he happy with that?
Yeah, go on.
That's
then.
A number. This I'm going to get the rest wrong, don't
tell
worry.
Me what it is.
That's the full auto shot.
There we go.
Peacekeeper.
Yep.
I'm going to say Mastiff.
Yep.
Havoc.
Yes.
Flatline.
Okay, that's 5.
Yeah, those are all the ones.
7 more.
Triple take.
That is 1. 6.
Oh, that's a scratchy pen. I don't like it. Oh, no. P22? Oh, it's not a P22, is it?
It's not a P22.
Is there an RF22?
There's nothing 22.
All right, I've already failed.
Yeah, it's a P2020. So that's 6 you got there, Joe. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Kraber was in there.
Yeah,
I forgot
so
Kraber.
You could have had RE45, P2020, Wingman.
See, I was getting Wingman's. I should have.
R99, Alternator, also known as Alternator. The Alienator.
I didn't even say Mozambique.
No, you didn't. Prowler. R301, Hemlock, Spitfire, Devotion, G7 Scout, Longbow, Kraber. Maybe there's 20 because I haven't got Mozambique on this list, which is weird. Must have got accident. Anyway, you only got 6.
Some fucking Apex fans you are.
So that is 1-0.
I felt fine about it.
The next one, Matt gets to up the bidding on. On the newest Endgame poster. That's the US and UK one, not the Korean
not
one that came out.
Right. That was a cool one.
There are 13 characters on it. How many of them can you name?
I'll go with a conservative 6.
But that, yeah, because then you're going to name balling. Ones that aren't there. If you name one that isn't there, do you lose immediately?
Yeah.
I'll say 7.
I'll go to 8.
Ooh, I think he's trying to bluff you. I think he knows them all, Joe.
That's my worry. 9.
Go on then.
Okay.
Oh, he's sending him in on 9.
We got Cap.
Which one?
Meza. We got Cap Meza.
Yeah.
We got Iron Man.
Can you actually say the names?
Iron Man.
Okay. Well, who's Cap Meza?
Captain America.
Okay.
Cap Meza.
Okay.
I thought you were going to... Ah, never mind.
What? I reckon we've got Rocket Raccoon.
We have.
I reckon
more of the one obscure ones. But...
No, because that's why everyone's been talking about him. I reckon we've got Ant-Man.
Yep, that's 4. How many is it again?
9. Hawkeye/Ronin.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson's character, Black Widow.
That's 6.
6.
3 more.
I said Ant-Man. Who else is in the trailers? Let's go. Okoye?
Okoye.
She got added to it. That was a thing.
Her name did, yeah. She was. Her face was always there.
But I wasn't. No, yeah. I thought she wasn't.
She was in the poster, but everyone else's credit was at the top apart from hers, which was the issue. So that's 7. You need 2 more.
Is Captain Marvel on it?
She is.
Oh, mama.
1 more.
Who have I forgotten now? Bruce Banner.
Yes,
boy. That's the first one I've ever got.
There's only 4 more. Thanos.
Yeah.
4. War Machine and Nebula.
Nebula. I would never have gotten Nebula.
That's 1 all. We're getting a close game.
Feeling pretty good about that, man, to be honest.
So, category number 3. The 8 Pokemon Indigo League badges.
Oh,
their
yeah.
names.
This
red
is Generation
blue.
1, yeah.
That's red and blue. Kanto. 8 badges. I need the names of the badges.
I'm going to say 2.
2?
Yeah.
Are the badges named after the gyms?
Yep, what that?
They have separate names.
Genuinely going to have to get you to name them because I can't remember.
This is the problem. I really wanted you to go above me because I know I can't do
because
two.
Because if they're the names of the gyms, I think I'd be okay to do three. Yeah, but if they're
are,
not.
I apologise if they are the actual names of the gyms, but I don't think they are.
Where have you got this information from then?
These are, well, I know the names of the badges. Right. I didn't look up the names of the gyms. I'm pretty sure they're not. It's not the gyms, just the names of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're not. What? They have separate... The badges have names. It says you obtained this badge.
Rock badge?
No.
There we go. That's it. I don't know what the badges are called.
That's, do you want to map that?
What is it?
Boulder badge.
Oh, see, I would never get this.
Wouldn't you? I would have got like three or four, I think.
Really?
So you could have boulder badge, cascade badge, thunder badge, rainbow badge, soul badge, marsh badge.
Marsh!
Volcano badge and earth badge.
No way I would have got two of those.
That's disappointing.
You want a real shit story from my childhood.
Yes.
When I used to be in the playground as a kid doing Pokemon cards, I used to really want to actually play Pokemon cards, but people wouldn't play me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I made badges out of clay and painted them up and was a gym leader, and I'd force people to play me because then they could
so
get
you
a
could
badge
give
instead.
Them badges. Yeah. Oh, fair play.
What were the badges called? None of them.
I mean, they would have been called those, but it was, you know, 20 years ago, mate.
Just caught myself saying fair play. That guy says I say fair play too much. That's three drinks, by the way.
So, category four. On the official Walker's Crisp website,
yeah,
there are 14 flavours currently in shops, and that's flavours of just normal Walker's crisps.
Standard Walker's
not
crisps.
Not Max, not...
Any standard
to Americans,
squares,
imagine
chips.
Lay's.
Yeah.
The Lay's
there
equivalents.
There are 14 currently in rotation in shops.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. This is one of your best.
Matt to kick us off.
Oh, I reckon eight.
Ooh. That's going to be my guess.
There's a couple here I did not know existed.
Yeah. There always are. Sneaky Walkers. I'm going to push to nine.
Okay, I'll try 10.
Go on, name.
All right, then.
Oh, he's going.
Here we go, then. So, ready, salted?
Good. I'm glad you started with that.
Yeah. Cheese and onion?
Yep.
Banger.
Cheese and chive?
Oh, that's bold.
There is no cheese
that's
and chive.
Really? They fucking took them out.
What? Walkers had cheese and chive?
Yeah, they used to come in like a light green packet.
Keep going. I want to hear more crisp packets. I want Matt to keep guessing anyway.
Right, prawn cocktail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Worcestershire sauce?
Yep.
Yeah, that's sauce. A purple packet, right?
Yeah.
Smoky bacon?
Yep.
I remember like a yellow packet, which was like just cheddar cheese.
It's not currently in rotation.
Right.
I can't
roast
believe
chicken.
You went cheese and chive three.
It was bold. Not didn't go with salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
Which is
roast chicken.
That's roast chicken is there.
Yeah, that's orangey, isn't it?
That's currently 2-2. It's going to go down to
the last
one. Can
we go through all of them? Do they still have barbecue black? Black packets?
I don't think they do
anymore.
They
got rid of barbecue.
So the 14 I have listed here on the official Walker's website, so don't at me. Ready salted, cheese and onion, salt and vinegar, prawn cocktail, spicy sriracha.
Hello?
What?
Not seen that.
Gone up market.
Barbecue pulled pork. Maybe they replaced the black packet with barbecue pulled pork. Beef and onion. Marmite.
Beef and onion, I think, is one of the worst flavours of
not
crisp.
Good, is it?
Don't get it.
Even the Monster Munch ones aren't good.
I don't really like Monster Munch.
Pickled onion ones are good, aren't
they? Nah.
Marmite. Roast chicken. Smoky bacon. Worcester sauce. Pickled onion.
Oh, yeah.
Tomato ketchup.
Oh, I forgot they did that.
And salt and shake.
What? They've got ready salted and salt and shake now?
Yeah, I know. They're taking the piss.
I can't believe they stole salt and shake's idea.
But sadly, well, not sadly. Thrillingly, it's now 2-2. It's coming down to the last one.
Cheese and chive.
I'm sorry, but this one may favour Joe more just due to how long you've been at this company.
What?
Since 2010, so from the 1st of January 2010, IGN have given 15 games a 10.
No, I'm going to be
haven't
rubbish
you done this,
this
before?
Yeah, I'm
no,
sure
I
you've
haven't
done this.
Done games of the year. Never done 15 games we've given a 10.
Fuck.
Joe opens the
video. This is see the thing is if I get it wrong I look bad.
Yep.
Oh Christ. Since 2010.
1st of January 2010. This decade. 15 tens.
There's ones that I can't remember whether they sit on either side.
By the way, these are main games. There is a 16th, which is Undead Nightmare. I'm not counting that because that is DLC and not a full game release. Okay.
I give it Undead Nightmare a 10.
Take it. Don't take it up with me.
Have you got the people who gave the 10s?
I haven't.
You should have written that down.
I'm not calling people out.
Christ, I'm going to say 4.
4.
I'm just shooting barrels now, aren't I?
Yeah.
You can have a guess at 5.
Yeah, I'll go 5 then.
I'll try 6. I should try.
7.
Oh!
Go! Got him!
Right. Yeah. Red Dead 2.
Yes. If Matt does this, it'll be shame on you, Jeff.
No, it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Odyssey. Mario. Yes.
Oh, did we give that 10? I forgot. Doesn't deserve it.
That's 3. You need 4 more.
God of War.
Yes.
That's
4.
It's been a good couple of years, hasn't it?
Mm.
There's one outlier from last year that I had in my head that I knew.
Was it a weird one?
It was not weird so much as...
It's a good game.
It wasn't a 10 for everyone. The review
from
justified.
From last year.
Was it last year? Yeah. It was last year, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. But there's probably more obvious
anyway,
ones
Anyway, yeah, there's
out
more
there.
Obvious ones than that. You don't
How many am I in? I'm in 3,
four.
Right?
4.
And
you need 3 more.
3 more.
How can you do that?
From 2010, so you've got a wide...
Yeah, got a wide gamut.
Cheese and chive.
Bold. So bold. Cheese and onion. Chives are very similar to onions, aren't they? Are you telling me the difference between cheese and chive and cheese and onion? In a blind test?
I would actually say that I reckon cheese and chive is a nicer flavour.
Maybe, but...
Pringles cheese and chive.
But they're sour cream and chive.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Fuck, they're good. That one more dusty.
Anyway,
oh, man.
3 more games. From the last 9 years.
GTA 5.
Yes.
Banger.
2 more.
Oh, 2010.
Perfect. Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yes.
Nice. Hey. Here we go.
1 more.
Oh, this is where I'm going to fuck it, innit?
I feel like there's one that everyone gave a 10 to, Jay.
Is there?
Or their equivalent scoring system.
Uncharted 4?
Oh!
No, you could have had Uncharted 3 or The Last of Us.
So it was between that and Last of Us. Uncharted 3?
Yeah, I know.
I'd like
what mentalists would be doing that?
I believe that was someone called Greg Miller.
Was it Greg Miller?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it might have been, actually.
That's
why he left.
You could also have had, I believe...
tell me I got a made-up name.
What? 6, so close. That was a valiant effort.
That was
but it does
really
mean Joe
good.
Has won 3-2. The others you could have had... Celeste.
That was the one.
Undertale.
Oh, fair play, yeah. I think that was...
I mostly agree with all these, by the way. Yeah. Inside.
Oh, yeah.
The Witness. Absolutely.
Can I get one?
Fucking The Witch is going to be on this, isn't it?
It actually isn't.
I think we get that 9.
The Last of Us. Zelda Skyward Sword.
Us an Edge.
Uncharted
gave that 10.
3. Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
People went fucking nuts for that game, and it is good. But yeah.
And the last one, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh, that was... See, I was trying to remember which side of
that
2010 that was
in.
On. Fair play.
Yeah. But what a thrilling...
I said fair play
round
again.
What a thrilling round to go on name.
I can't remember who wrote in that email, but you've ruined me. I can't stop.
What a lovely time. We've got some feedback, I think.
We have.
Joe, go.
Number 1, from Adam Astbury. Subject line, games that bleed into real life. Hi, everyone. So, I recently played The Witness, and I really enjoyed my time with it. I'm burping. However, for the Platinum Trophy... He didn't write that. However, for the Platinum Trophy, you needed to complete the challenge, in quotes. 14 randomly generated puzzles, a maze of which the way through is the answer to the previous puzzle. This is... I can't even work that out. Never mind The Witness.
It's the toughest thing I've ever had to do in life.
Difficult 3D... difficult 3D... You've had a charmed life. Difficult 3D cylindrical puzzles, and all the while, you have the Alton Towers theme tune playing, and only 6 minutes before you have to start again.
It is a ball.
Wait, sorry. Is it 6 minutes to solve 14 random puzzles?
I think it might be slightly longer, but yeah, it's not long. It's 6 or 7 minutes.
I spent hours trying to get this over the course of days. And now every time I look at anything, I start drawing little white lines along the edges to solve the non-existent puzzle. Help me. All the best, Adam.
I have had the urge to go back to The Witness recently, just because I love that game so much. And I feel like I've forgotten enough of the solutions to not just be able to walk through it.
It's one of those games that I have notebook pages that make me look like I've gone insane. Like that and my notes taken in the dark for the film Us, which, oh my God, that page is a mess. It's just things like stuff
it's like intersecting sentences.
She's crying in like wobbly stuff.
Was it you
stuff?
That was telling me you were sitting next to someone who'd only written the words Us? Was it you?
No, that wasn't me.
Someone else has told me that. Funny story. Good. Witness is good.
That's one of my favourite games that bleed into real life solutions.
I was definitely doing that. You just start seeing circles and lines connecting. You're like, if I put my finger there, will the sun explode?
Oh, when you first find those puzzles that are just the world.
They're amazing.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love that game. Is it still free on PS Plus this month? You might be able to drink at the moment.
Yeah, I think it still is.
I think until Tuesday or Wednesday. So get it while you can. Get it while it's hot.
Even if it doesn't sound like your thing, give it a try. Like, I never finished it and I don't think I will. It got to a point where I stopped enjoying the finding of puzzles anymore. Mm. And, like, that's just because of me.
Yeah.
Like, the game itself is fantastic.
It's just the most relaxing. Like, there's no
I don't find it relaxing.
Really. So walking around, you just get ambient noise, and you get those sometimes annoying little tapes of philosophy, but, you know, deal with it. Puzzles, innit? What have you got for us, Matt?
Got from Joshua Littlechilds.
A lovely name.
Yeah, it's great. He didn't give me a subject line, but I'm going to guess it's, "You forgot this, you muppet." Hi, guys. I didn't finish the podcast to avoid the spoilers for us. Good shout. Hope you've seen it. This week, so I don't know if you ended up addressing it. We didn't. But regarding the actors playing multiple role segments, I had to chime in as I can't believe you missed such a big one. Austin Powers.
Fair play.
I did remember this, but I didn't want to bring it up because I wanted to talk about Cloud Atlas. Because Cloud Atlas is good.
I don't like Austin Powers.
Do you not like
it
either?
Put it out there.
Austin Powers?
No.
Like, I think I did when I was a kid.
Yeah,
but
that's the same for me.
I never watched it really when I was a kid. So the first time I watched them, I was like, probably like 18, 19. I was like, it went all over me. I was like, why did anyone ever like this?
Forgive me, I think I've told this before, but just in case I haven't. I once fell asleep with the DVD of The Spy Who Shagged Me playing. And it was one of those DVD players that auto-played stuff after the main titles had finished. So it went on to special features and started playing deleted scenes. I woke up during the night having... This was also the first time I'd ever watched the film and I fell asleep during it. So I woke up and the deleted scenes were playing. But because I'm in that half, like, that sort of half fugue state of being asleep, I was watching these scenes, just completely disconnected scenes, and going like... Fuck, the time travel in this movie is like actually quite like intense and hard to follow. Like suddenly I was like, is this Primer? Is the Spy Who Shagged Me like Primer? It was mental.
Anyway, back to Joshua.
Yeah.
By Goldmember, he's playing four pretty different characters, all with different accents and speech styles.
Broad stereotypes.
Yeah. Which, while I think the movies themselves are kind of shit, is an impressive feat for any actor. Which, yes, I would agree. Also, Mike Myers is Canadian, and I always have to give a shout-out to my fellow Northern brethren.
Ledge.
Fair enough.
There we go. Thanks for a great podcast every week. It makes the long, arduous task of going to the gym that much easier to bear.
Oh, don't show off, little child. We
definitely
get
don't
it,
show
buff.
Off, little child. Right, I've got a piece from Jack Waterlow.
Hello.
He says, hi.
Hello.
I was on the overground commuting one day and saw a man I thought was Joe. I then convinced myself it wasn't him until I noticed he was reading a novel called The Prestige. I was briefly quite proud of my detective work until I noticed he was wearing a jacket with the IGN logo on it, which probably should have been the biggest clue.
I'm like a walking advertisement for myself.
I don't know how to end this email. P.S. I've had a few Ronies.
Legend. Yeah, I remember this coming in. Do you know what's odd is that I genuinely on that train journey noticed someone looking at the book. Mm. And I found myself going like, oh shit, what if they're like a listener? And then I went, don't be such a fucking big-head idiot. Like, it could just be someone who's interested in the book you're reading.
Yeah.
Turns out I was right. I am world famous. Jack, if you're interested, I finished The Prestige, the novel.
Yep.
I think it's very good.
Yep.
I don't think it's as good as the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is almost... It's weird. It takes elements, the movie takes elements from it, like names and locations and very slightly events.
Mm.
But the outcome and the way it presents those things is so different that it's fundamentally a different story, and I didn't realize. Yeah. And that was actually really nice. Like, if you like The Prestige and its general ambience, like, it's genuinely worth reading. It's a great book.
What a lovely recommendation.
And now I'm going to try and get that book that Joe Cornish told us about that was The Magic, which is just Christopher Priest complaining about them adapting it for the screen.
But yeah, Jack, if you see Joe, bother him every single day and say hello. He'll enjoy that.
You can say hello.
Every day.
Don't bother me every day.
Every day.
I'm usually in the same carriage as well.
Carriage. Carriage rhymes with garage.
Fucking
see us out, Joe. What have we got this week?
Oh, are we finished?
Yeah.
Well,
but also, if you want to do want to send in feedback, send it to IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
If you see any of us reading The Prestige, you're allowed to knock the book out of our hands, because it won't be me anymore. So I don't care.
I don't read on trains. I listen.
To who?
Anyone I want.
Hello. What are you saying? Press down on the D-pad to eavesdrop. Sekiro's weirdest mechanic.
We've teased it. What garage are we getting today, Joe?
What we're getting is on recommendation from my friend and professional rival and yours, yes, Timur Hussein. he told us to play Richie Dan's Temptation, which is a 2001 track smack bang in the middle of the UK garage scene.
High of the scene.
That was way up there. He's like at the zenith.
Yeah. I'm not too familiar with Richie's work.
I'm not familiar with his work. Once I heard this song, I remembered hearing it. It was on the Pure Garage compilation that was so seminal.
Just stick that at the bar, get some slam down, some lager tops.
What are you talking about? Are you right?
I'm just kind of going into this sort of ethereal glaze over my eyes and just going to really just take in this garage.
Yeah.
Take it away, Richie.
Them call it temptation, temptation. It's a natural thing. You resist the bullet. Them call it temptation, temptation. It's a natural thing. Unbelievable, them call it temptation, temptation. It's a natural thing, irresistible. Them call it temptation, temptation. It's a natural thing.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.